And the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. The gospel of the Lord. For a few seconds last Thursday morning, my life was completely out of control. I'm just fine, but what happened was, if you were on the road where I was, you would have known there was freezing drizzle, and I was driving to work. I came over a hill, and I already noticed a couple of times stopping. My car didn't quite stop the way it should, so there was something, the roads were not in good shape. At the bottom of the hill, a couple hundred yards ahead, there were a lot of emergency vehicles, and there was somebody rolled over in the ditch. I really don't know what was wrong with, what had happened there. But as soon as I hit my brakes, the unexpected happened, and my car began to spin. It's happened to me before, but quite honestly, it was more than a little, frightening. Actually, I must say, I felt kind of calm, but I realized that at any moment, that could be it for me or for anyone else. Think of all those emergency vehicles down there at the bottom of the hill who were trying to help the person in the ditch. I just kept my foot in the brake. I ended up being able to just stop safely on the other side of the road. I was just fine. For a few seconds, like I said, my life was completely out of control. I had no control over what was happening. And the worst could have happened, I guess. Really could have. I think that's an experience that you've probably had too in different ways. Your life feeling like it's out of control and being out of control. Things happen, maybe sometimes things that you did. Maybe I was driving a little faster than I should have, knowing the road conditions. I wasn't driving too fast, but you never know. Should have been driving slower, maybe. Maybe you're partly responsible. But nonetheless, we all go through times in our life when it feels like things are out of control, not the way we want them to be. And I was thinking about Noah on the ark. We don't know exactly what happened. The book of Genesis doesn't give us details of what took place. But Noah on the ark there, as the floods were rising, the waters were coming down, huddled there with his family and a bunch of animals on this boat that he had built, listening to God in this absolutely incredible moment that is recorded in the book of Genesis. Surely, not only his life, but everything was out of control. There was only one little island of safety on the earth that is recorded at that time in the book of Genesis to be there on the ark. And even for them, they were really not in control of what was happening. I imagine they weren't trying to steer the ark. Who knows? But there was storms everywhere. Floods were rising. Everything was out of control. And yet we know that something marvelous takes place, which is what we actually heard about in the reading this evening. After the ark lands, and God speaks to Noah and his sons with him and says, "As for me, I am establishing a covenant with you and your descendants after you." Now think about the covenant. First with Noah as an individual, then with his descendants. But it goes on. "And with every living creature that is with you, the birds, domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, I establish my covenant with you." And what are the terms of the covenant? God says, "Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." See, it's important to remember why there was a flood in the first place. The wickedness and sin that had overcome the people of that time. And while we can't fully understand what that would have looked like, we don't hear a lot of detail in the book of Genesis, we know it's God's will that there should not be sin. Sin, which is us turning away from God, turning towards evil, harming ourselves, harming others. And if you think about the extent of this covenant, we could even say that sin involves a kind of harm that we can cause to all the relationships we have with all of creation. And God places a sign in the sky, which is the rainbow. And whenever life is out of control, I think it's good to try to remember these words. Not that I remember them when my car was spinning out of control, but to remember these words that we hear in the book of Genesis. "I will remember my covenant." These are God's words to you and to me and to every single person and to all creatures, I will remember my covenant. Our God is a God who remembers you and me and everyone and everything. And when God remembers, he keeps his promise. He is with us in the middle of all the seasons of our lives. And there's something that you have experienced, at least I imagine most of you, I know most of you have experienced something as I have, which is our entry into this marvelous covenant in a very special way, and that is through the sacrament of baptism. In the second reading, Peter, writing his first letter, compares what happened with the flood. In a mysterious way, he says, 8 persons saved through water. He more or less says, baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you. The waters of the flood, which were a kind of cleansing, are a prefigurement of the waters of baptism by which you, if you were baptized, and me, as I was baptized, are cleansed from sin. We enter into a new relationship with the God who made a covenant with Noah and all people and all creatures. We become his. He becomes our God in a new and a unique way as our Father. And in this season of Lent, the fact that we have been baptized should have some special significance. Because when someone is baptized for the first time, all sin is completely removed from that person. Baptism removes all sin. But the reality for all of us who are baptized is that we need to be reminded, including me, we all need to be reminded that we are still sinners. The fact that we have turned to God in faith, the fact that we have been baptized, does not take away from us the not only the possibility, but our tendency to fall back into sin. As bad as it is when someone's life is out of control in the way that I described, that much worse is what we do to ourselves and others when we sin. Because then we are choosing to turn away from God. We are choosing evil. And it seems to me to live our baptism in the season of Lent, we must do the first thing that Jesus talked about in today's gospel. And he says, repent. The first thing he tells us to do, the first words he utters in Mark's gospel as a whole, include word to you and me. And that word is repent. To repent is to acknowledge that we are sinners. Now, I believe that we all know what that means. I believe you know what that means, and I know what that means, because we are all sinners. But it's important to be reminded that we are sinners, not so we can be gloomy, sad, or beat ourselves up, but because we can think of ourselves, even when we're enmeshed in the worst of sin, as the people whom God is going to remember. God will remember you and does remember you whenever you turn to him in sin, whenever you repent. He doesn't ever get tired of doing that because he promised that he would always remember us, starting with the promise he gave to Noah. And so when we repent, we do something absolutely marvelous. When we repent and seek God's forgiveness, especially, of course, through the sacrament of reconciliation, which we put a special focus on in the season of Lent, it's like the rainbow comes out for us. It's like the weight is lifted off. We are cleansed. But there is much more going on as people who have been baptized for you and me in the season of Lent. Think about Jesus' words. His words were not simply repent. Yes, he said to repent, but much more is being said. And what does he say? Well, first, let's look at how he said it. First of all, he himself was in the wilderness and tempted by Satan. That's what we just heard. And why was he in the wilderness? He was driven there by the Holy Spirit. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. In other words, Jesus is at the center of all of creation. The spirits whom God created, the angels, all of the creatures. Remember the creatures who are part of the covenant with Noah. They're there again. They're surrounding Jesus. and he is tempted by Satan. The possibility of evil is real even for him, though he certainly never sins. He's certainly never drawn into sin. He can experience and does what we do because he himself was tempted. In that sense, he's like us. And in this kind of confrontation in the wilderness, what does he do? After he returns back to the rest of the people, his people of that time, he comes to Galilee and he proclaims the good news of God. And that phrase, good news, you might or might not know, is sometimes translated also as gospel. And in the original, would have been something like evangelion or evangelion, like the word evangelize or evangelist. And often you think, isn't it good news? It is good news, by the way, that we're being invited to repent and our sins are going to be forgiven when we repent. But Pope Benedict, commenting on this translation, good news, says it doesn't really do full justice to what Jesus is doing. When he proclaims the good news of God, that phrase, good news, gospel, evangelion, has a much bigger meaning, which the gospel writers like Mark would have known. And everyone who read it or heard it at that time would have also known, and we tend not to know. Because, you see, a gospel was a thing that happened in those days. There were gospels. There were lots of gospels. What did a gospel mean? A gospel meant a proclamation by the king or emperor that he had conquered, that he was victorious, that he was in charge. Gospel or good news means, in this case, that Jesus is proclaiming that he is victorious, he has conquered, and he is in charge. And it's very, very important and very political to say, even for the gospel writers of that time, that Jesus came proclaiming the good news of God, which was a challenge to every ruler of that time. They didn't want to hear about anyone else saying that they had a gospel, because they and only they, in that case it would have been the Caesar, the Roman emperor, who would have thought he was in charge. And here Jesus comes along out of the wilderness saying, no, I'm in charge. I am proclaiming the gospel of God. This is my kingdom. And so what happens when you are baptized, yes, you must and we must all be called back to repent and receive forgiveness for our sins. But there's a lot more going on because, as Jesus says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. And again, what is the good news? The good news is that you are now a member of a kingdom because you are baptized. And you have a king, and his name is Jesus. And every earthly ruler is not really in charge, and you and I know that. Jesus is in charge. So what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus, a member of his kingdom, who follows him as your leader, your actual king, despite what any earthly ruler might ever say? It means that we need to discover our role in the kingdom of Jesus. We are cleansed of sin so that we can join in the same proclamation. We proclaim the same gospel, good news of Jesus Christ and his kingdom for the people of our time. In order to do that, you need to know how you are being led by the Holy Spirit. Remember how Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. In fact, he was driven by the Spirit, it says here in Mark's Gospel, driven into the wilderness, driven out to where things are bad and bleak, and lonely, and where there's even temptation. In order to do that, we need to know how the Holy Spirit is equipping us. You and I are being offered gifts by the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill this mission. And not you alone or me alone or us as individuals. Rather, all of us together. We need to understand, I think, in the season of Lent, our baptism means that we're part of a kingdom where everyone here has been equipped with gifts. If you like to think of it in terms of the kingdom, you might even say weapons, spiritual weapons, weapons of love, that we are being empowered with. And these are often very humble and ordinary things, like being kind when you didn't know you had that kindness left in you for that person, like smiling and holding a door open, like talking to someone you haven't talked to for a long time because you held something against them, but you found it in yourself to forgive because you asked God to help you. little things and big things. Because God does do marvelous things when we let him work through us and when he chooses. Miracles will take place when we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. For us as individuals, for us as a church, and for people around us. It's not up to us to limit what the Holy Spirit can do. It really isn't. The same Holy Spirit in whom you've been baptized, in whom we have been baptized, is working even now in and through us and through all of creation, fulfilling God's promise to Noah that he would remember us and remember every single one of us. And I believe he wants to use you and me and us as a community to reach out and touch the places that are wilderness nearby around us. Sometimes, of course, they're within ourselves. Sometimes it's someone in our immediate family, someone very close to us, where there's a wilderness, where life is out of control for that person. And certainly in our community, we know lots of reasons that people in our community really need the touch of God's love and of his Holy Spirit, which very often is intended to come to them through you and me. Yes, the sacrament of baptism is our salvation. But in receiving this gift of salvation, we're not just supposed to put our feet up and say, I'm fine, forget about the rest of everyone else. And it's not even enough to say, I repent of my sins, though we absolutely need to do that, especially in the season of Lent. But that is so that we can be equipped by the same Holy Spirit who inspired Jesus to proclaim the gospel of God. A rainbow is a very simple and beautiful thing. And in our time, as in Noah's time, as recorded in Genesis, a rainbow signifies hope. Something beautiful appears when the sun finally shines after a storm. That's what a rainbow is, and that's what a rainbow does. And I believe you and I are also called to be signs of hope for each other and for everyone we meet in the same way, like rainbows, if you will. And our lives, our actions, our words, everything about us should proclaim the good news of God, just as Jesus did. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.